Welcome to the Quillette Podcast, hosted on alternate weeks by me, Jonathan Kay, and by Iona Italia. Quillette is where free thought lives. We are an independent grassroots platform for heterodox ideas and fearless commentary. You are about to hear a free preview of this week's episode. To hear the full episode and to get access to all our podcasts and articles, visit us at quillette.com and click the subscribe button.
My guest this week is Jonathan Rauch. John is a senior fellow in the Governance Studies program at the Brookings Institution. He is the author of 8 books, 4 of which I have personally read and can highly recommend. Kindly Inquisitors, The New Attacks on Free Thought, The Happiness Curve, Why Life Gets Better After Midlife, The Constitution of Knowledge, A Defense of Truth, and his latest book, which is the focus of our conversation today, Cross Purposes, Christianity's Broken Contract with Democracy. John argues that Christianity is a load-bearing wall in the American civic polity, but that evangelical Christians have turned away from their core beliefs in favor of the kind of destructive, overzealous party political activism that is contributing to the pernicious polarization of U.S. society. He offers some models for returning to a vision of Christianity more compatible with civic virtue and urges Christian and atheist Americans to find better means of coexistence. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jonathan Rauch. So your book really, as I understand it, has 2 parts. The first part is about the way in which Christianity is an integral part of American polity. And you talk about the civic polity and the religious institutions complementing each other. And in the second part, you talk about how those religious institutions, in particular evangelical Christianity, could be reformed or returned to a reading of Christianity that is more compatible with U.S. civic virtues rather than being merely a political partisan affiliation. And I'd like to start by talking about that first thing, because I was wondering if there's a connection here between your earlier book on the Constitution of Knowledge and this book. One connection that I see is that you have a lot of faith in the power and importance of institutions. And I wonder whether, let me see, how can I put this? Was that a conscious connection as you were writing this book, that you were thinking about the importance, the centrality of institutions in a very similar way to the way you do with institutions that promote knowledge in the Constitution of Knowledge?
Yes, thank you. I suppose it was conscious in the sense that I see liberalism, what I think Australians understand as liberalism, which is what we sometimes call classical liberalism, not the US style, post-war left-wing progressive type of thing. I understand liberalism and the institutions and rules and philosophies of liberalism to be the basis of modern civilization. And most of the good things that have come into the world over the past 350 years, like the knowledge we have of the universe, the ending of most wars between the liberal countries, remarkable amount of freedom, the ability for me as a gay man to be open, to be married, women's rights, all those other forms of progress, progress. And my charter has been trying to figure out why people in so many places are becoming so sour on these institutions and endangering them to the point in the United States right now of a real crisis. And so both of these books are efforts to understand what's gone wrong, one with our epistemic order and the other with the Christian underpinnings that we had relied on for so long to help hold the country together.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in the fact that the US is such an outlier among developed Western nations in the number of people who are churchgoers and believers. So I live here in Australia, which is probably the, I've lived in 7 different countries, and this is probably the best governed, most harmonious country I've lived in. You wouldn't think that from Twitter. If you just went by Twitter, you'd think this was a dystopian hellhole where we're all at each other's throats. And I think living here has really brought home to me what a gap there is between the fights on Twitter and how real life feels on a general daily basis. But this is a, like most developed countries, this is an extremely secular country. Most Australians are just, they're not religious. They don't believe in God. They don't go to church, except possibly some at Christmas or to get married or baptized or buried. But it's not a major part of people's lives. And the US is a strong outlier in that. Most other countries that are strongly religious are underdeveloped countries, theocracies, illiberal or totalitarian countries like Pakistan, where I grew up. Why do you think that the US is such an outlier in that regard?
Well, I should say it's significantly less of an outlier in 2025 than it was in 2020. Back then, the conventional wisdom was that America really stood apart from the rest of the developed world in its religiosity. That's not so true anymore. It's still true to an extent, but we have seen in the United States, just in this century, really in the past 20 years, a collapse of faith, especially Christianity. And that's brought with it a hole in its train, a whole series of social difficulties, which are attributable, of course, to more than one thing. I don't believe in monocausality. And, you know, you've had cell phones and fragmented media and failed institutions and all of that sort of thing. But a big chunk of the increase in, for example, depression, anxiety, loneliness, social isolation, anemia, and I think especially intense partisan polarization, the substitution of partisan identity for what used to be more of a religious identity, all of those things have caused a bunch of social pathologies. So it turns out that the United States is becoming more like other developed countries in terms of being secular, but we relied more than they did on religion, specifically on Christianity, which is the country's by far majority faith. We relied on Christianity. It was a load-bearing wall here, in a way that it did not have to be in many other countries for various reasons. So I think that means we're suffering more for the collapse of that wall.
Why do you think it was so much more of a load-bearing wall in America than elsewhere?
Well, of course, you know, sociologists will argue about that until the cows come home. But the standard story is that we are an immigrant society and a very diverse society, and thus relied on creed, and that included, of course, the constitutional creed, the creed of the founders, but it also included Christian creed to kind of knit us together. You know, Iona, when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, often the first thing someone asked when they met somebody was not, what do you do for a living? Or where did you go to college? It was, what church do you go to? 70% of Americans were churchgoers right through the last century. Today, it's under half. That's a change of magnitude we haven't seen before. And when a country goes through a change that wrenching, it's not as if a substitute can spring up overnight for all of what Christianity has been doing. And that includes providing a transcendental account of life's meaning, something higher than ourselves that we live for, providing collective worship, connections to other people, a way to socialize and educate children into a person's values. It turns out you just don't get those things from SoulCycle, which is a United States, you know, a cult-like exercise organization. And even less do you get it from, you know, MAGA and QAnon and these other radical political movements, which people are looking to for a source of identity. And that means we're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I was quite interested in this idea that religious people get their meaning from a belief in God. I've recently been listening to the statements that the freed hostages have made who've come back from Gaza. And although Israel is also an outlier country in terms of religiosity, although I think many of the most religious people are not in the IDF and would also not have been living in the border kibbutzim. So this may be a slightly different group that we're talking about, a more secular group, but I'm quite struck by the fact that none of the hostages, at least as far as I know, mentioned God as part of what was sustaining them or a belief in God. And what they mentioned, of course, was not SoulCycle, but it was they were sustained by each other, by the presence of other hostages, those who were kept with other hostages, and also by a hope for reunion with those outside, those back in Israel. So I think that it's, maybe you overstate the case a little bit about the lack of the necessity for religion as a source of more transcendental meaning, because I think a lot of people take that meaning from each other primarily, from relationships.
It's easy to come off with a stronger statement than I intend. So I should clarify, I am not a believer. I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God. I tried at one point. I just couldn't. And I'm gay. So I am well acquainted, as all gay Americans of my generation are, with the cruelty and bigotry and hypocrisy of Christians in this country. I have never held and do not hold that America is a Christian nation, and that if you're not a believer, you can't be just as good a citizen and just as moral a person. I mean, I think I'm a very reasonably moral person, and I don't go around in a state of existential dismay because I don't believe in God. So, but a lot of what I'm saying is that the substitutes that people have looked for, many people do look for transcendent meaning. They do look for a relationship with something higher than themselves. And they do look for sources of social connection that are consistent, and they do look for a foundation for values, for right and wrong. And it turns out that when Christianity fades, a lot of those people go other places in order to get those goods. And those other places range from strange and ineffective, like, you know, witchcraft, Wicca, personal fitness movement, radical environmentalism, to downright poisonous and toxic. And toxic polarization, extreme polarization, has become of such a scale, I would argue, that it's effectively making America ungovernable. So it's not that everyone has to be religious, but it is that Christianity was doing a lot of social jobs in the United States. And its weakening has at least not so far given rise to adequate substitutes.
Thanks for listening to this preview of our latest podcast. To hear the full podcast episode and gain access to all our articles and podcasts, we invite you to become a Quillette subscriber. To find out more, visit Quillette.com. That's Quillette.com. And click on the subscribe button. That's Quillette.com, and then click subscribe. We look forward to having you as part of our community. If you're already a Quillette subscriber, go to the FAQ section of our website and click on how to add your private podcast feed to your favorite podcast app for instructions on how to access full episodes of this podcast.